Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, and that chuckle that you hear across the table. Of course, the familiar voice of former Texans wide receiver who joins us each and every week at this time on a draft day eve edition of the show. Cecil Shorts, are you I know that you are a football fan. I feel like you're a football fan as much, if not more, than you are a former player. Football.
Probably so.
I know this from sitting next to you and watching you go through the excruciating pain of a fantasy football season in the press box. But along those lines, have you been a huge draft nerd even before you were in the NFL?
Even before I was drafted, me and my dad would sit down and we would watch the draft from beginning all the way to the end.
Really?
So I knew players that were going in the fifth round, sixth round, and then we were big Cleveland Browns fans. So we wanted, you know, especially when they came back, when we got Tim Couch in 99. That was a crazy draft, actually, because Ricky Williams was traded for a boatload of stuff.
The whole draft? The whole draft. Saints draft.
So, yeah.
How'd that work out?
Didn't.
30 seconds.
And then
in
23 quarterbacks later, we got Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Yada, yada, yada.
That might be the exact number.
So that had to make it even cooler. You were a fourth round pick for Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That you and your dad, that the draft was something that was, like, it sounds like tradition for you guys to sit down and watch it. You guys are big football fans. Regardless of what round it was, and there's nothing wrong with going in the fourth round for sure. That had to make it even cooler that the draft was something that was such an integral part of your fandom growing up.
It made everything that much sweeter.
Yeah.
Because we were doing what we did as a child growing up, and then now you're doing it for, like, you know, he's doing it for his child, I'm doing it with my dad. It was just a crazy moment, a surreal moment in that time. And to see your name across that screen, that's why I'm so excited about this weekend. And every time it comes.
We can tell.
Every time it comes, it's like it's life-changing for everybody involved.
Yeah.
If you get drafted number one or you're undrafted and you get called to a team, you're still playing in the NFL.
Yep.
Like, this is a lifelong dream. Like, tomorrow night, it'll be 32 new millionaires.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's crazy to think about that.
Yep. It is. There's no doubt about it.
It's crazy. Like, you work so hard to get to this point, and now you have an opportunity to live out your dream. So it's pretty cool.
So the day before you got drafted by Jacksonville,
were
you a basket case?
I was a wreck.
Yeah.
I was a wreck. So let's see. Thursday night, I was on campus. Friday night. So I woke up Friday and went to my parents' house. And we waited till that night. And then there's a bunch of people over. And nothing happened Friday. So I ended up going to my friend's house in Cleveland. And I was just a wreck. Like, I didn't know what to feel, what to do. Probably had some drinks that night to try to calm down.
Sure.
Like, it was just so much emotion into that weekend. And you're like, I just want to get drafted. I want this day to be over. But you're excited for it to come at the same time,
sure.
If that makes sense.
Had to be so nice. I mean, fourth round, so you're at the very beginning of day three.
Yeah, yeah.
So it had to be nice to have that Saturday, like, thinking about the future. Had you been to Jacksonville before? Did you visit Jacksonville?
I've never been to Florida before.
You'd never been to Florida, and
never
you got drafted by the Jags.
Before. So I had no idea what I was saying. I thought, when I heard Jacksonville, I'm like, oh, it's just like Miami. Well, it's not like Miami. It's kind of the exact opposite.
A little different.
Of Miami. So, it was a blessing, man. We had a lot of fun.
Is it too much of an overgeneralization to say that Miami feels like it's cosmopolitan and Jacksonville feels like the old South?
Oh, no, that's right in the money. Like, that's what it is.
Is that pretty much it in
a
nutshell?
If you go to Jacksonville, this is, and no offense to anybody, this is where old white people retire. They go to the beach, put their feet up, they live on the beach, and they're living their dream. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
And I think you told us Jack Del Rio called you, right?
So it was Jack that called me, and then our receivers coach at the time, I talked to him. Well, you can't even hear nothing on draft day. Like, everybody's going crazy. So I got, like, my phone in one ear and my finger in the other ear. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to hear what's going on. I can't really hear what they're saying. So I had to end up stepping out and then coming back in. They go crazy again. So it was awesome.
Okay, so I'm fascinated by this. So did you get online and Google Jacksonville? Like, what was your first foray into real estate in Jacksonville? Did you find an apartment or did you?
I had a small two-bedroom apartment. Nope, three-bedroom apartment in Jacksonville. On the south side of Jacksonville, I paid about $850 for it.
Okay.
A month.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I didn't know nothing about Jacksonville. When I went there, it was lockout year too. So I literally didn't go there.
Wow.
Now, David Garrard flew us down. He flew me and Blaine Gabbert down because we were the two offensive picks that year. He flew me and Blaine down, and we went down there, and we did some 7-on-7s with the team. So I'm walking around. I'm like, oh, this is Jacksonville. So what's there to do? And they're like,
Hey, that's pretty cool, though. So David Garrard flew the guy down who they drafted with the 10th overall pick.
Oh, yeah. Well, they told David, well, we're going to draft him, but he's going to be the guy. I mean, you're the guy for this year.
Yeah.
So he was still, you know, being the leader, being a professional that he was.
That's all we ever heard about him was that he was a great teammate.
Yeah, he was awesome. Well, and
Gabbert wound up starting pretty early, though, right?
Man, so the first day of training camp, they put everybody in the room. They said, listen, Blaine is our future, but Dave Garrard is the quarterback for this year. Blaine is not participating. He is not participating. He is not competing for the job this year. Week three of preseason, they cut David Garrard. So that's like
preseason.
A month later. Oh, yeah, week three of preseason, they cut David
Garrard. There anything wrong with him, or was he just not playing well?
It was something with his back.
Okay.
It was something with his back that didn't heal from the season before, kind of the way he wanted to. And he wasn't looking that good, according to them.
Was that kind of a wake-up call? Was that for you, for a rookie going, wow, they told us this at the most important position and this is happening? Was there a feeling like, okay, this is a business?
It was crazy. I don't think I realized it at that point.
Sure.
Because I was so focused on just trying to understand the plays.
Yeah, you're trying to make the team.
And the whole nine. And when I heard he got cut, I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. I was just surprised. So it was definitely eye-opening.
Was it Hoyer in 2015 where on Hard Knocks O'Brien said, you're the starter? Yeah, don't worry, it's not going to be a quick hook. This is not a short leash.
No, that didn't happen, Will.
Yeah. No, it didn't.
Yeah.
First interception, or the first play of the 2015 season was
an interception. Yeah, Marcus Peters.
Yeah, and it wasn't Brian Hoyer's fault. Hopkins ran the wrong route.
Well, really?
People don't know that yet.
I have to go back and look at that on Week.
Hopkins ran the wrong route.
Go back and watch it on Game Pass.
He ran a 5-yard, and he was coming in. Mm-hmm. He was running 5 yards, and this stay a hitch. But he kept running in, and just threw it straight to Peter.
Either way, it was a short leash.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Mallett was the starter by the end of the day. It's crazy. Which makes two of the 5 seasons O'Brien was here, there was a new starter in Week 2.
That's very true.
Poor Tom Savage.
Thank God those days are over.
All right, we'll talk more about the draft in the next segment, but I think probably the biggest NFL news over the last 24 hours or so, Cecil, is this Frank Clark trade.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the effect on Clowney, but I guess first, just your thoughts on the trade for both sides, Kansas City.
Well, I was
City
excited. I actually know Frank. So Frank is, he was born in the West Coast, grew up in the West Coast, but I believe he moved to Cleveland. So he's a hometown kid.
Mm-hmm.
Went to high school. It's like a famous high school in Cleveland called Glenville.
Yeah.
Troy Smith, Ted Ginn, and Dante Whitney are all guys that went in the NFL draft. Heisman Trophy winner and Troy Smith. They played together at this high school.
Oh, wow.
And they were incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Like my senior year, they had 23 guys go Division I. Mm. So he ended up going to that school. I was excited because he's been through a lot with his mom, with his family. And then the situation he got in at Michigan was unfortunate on all parts there. But
mm-hmm.
So I was happy for him. But I instantly thought, okay, what does this mean for Clowney? Right?
Okay. So what does it mean for Clowney?
To me, the market is absolutely set.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very similar deal to what Lawrence got. I think Lawrence got a little bit more in
it's
guaranteed
almost
money.
Almost identical.
I think Lawrence got 65. I think Frank got like 63.5 or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, that's correct. That's
so now my question is this. They have to come to a middle ground. I was talking to B-Mac about this. They have to come to a middle ground. So my question is, where does Clowney stand? Does he want like record-breaking type money? Or does he want what the market has and that Texas don't want to give it to him?
When you say middle, is Lawrence and Clark, is that line a floor? And are you talking about the top being Mac and Donald
yes,
and somewhere
absolutely.
In between those
somewhere,
two?
Somewhere in between.
65 at the bottom, 85 to 90 at the top.
Now, I don't think you would give him 85, right? But I think he probably will be happy with 73, 74, 70, somewhere in there.
Okay.
As far as guaranteed money. And that was about 20 a year annually.
Yeah.
So maybe 25, 30. I don't know. You got to come to a common ground.
The guaranteed money is going to be the big part.
That's
of it.
The biggest thing. That's all we care about.
But
how
are
much
the Texans
guaranteed?
Offering that kind of deal?
That's the biggest question. I don't know if it's more of a D Ford type contract that they want to give. I don't know if they want to make him $100
man.
Way
below market.
That was 33.
If that's the case, I'm not signing it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or they willing to go market, it's just Clowney's not willing to go market.
Do you think?
I mean, that's $33 million guaranteed to D Ford, 33 and change. If Clowney is tagged for 2 years in a row, that's an automatic $37 million
yeah.
right there.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think Clowney's better than Clark and Lawrence?
Yes. I think he brings more to the table.
Do you significantly better, like $75 million versus their $65
million? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, everything that's going on, he'll play under the franchise tag, my gut says.
Yep.
And I think he's going to have a – because stuff like this motivates players. You get a little fire under your belly. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you not going to do this? What do I got to prove? So I think he'll have a little more motivation. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up with double-digit sacks.
So you think this will fuel Clowney?
I think this is going to fuel his fire a little bit. Now, when you do this, when the fire gets fueled and he goes out there and has 11, 12 sacks, the price goes up.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're the Texans, that's good because he's playing well.
Right.
But at the same time, if you didn't want to pay him before – yeah. Now you got to pay more.
It's a double-edged sword. Listen, Cecil, I'm hoping this is not a factor, but I got to ask you anyway. I brought this up on the show yesterday. Both Lawrence and Clark each have a pair of double-digit sack seasons on their resume. Do you think that helped them get their deals done?
Yeah, that's matter. Everything comes to – and then their position too. I think what they do is they rush the passer completely, right? That's their yeah. job. They're in a – system where they are allowed to rush the passer, and that's pretty much all what they do. Whereas Clowney, you're moving him around. You're doing a lot of different things with him. And I don't think they have that much pressure, not percentage of pressure, but they don't have as big as a role as Clowney does in this defense.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I also thought it was interesting in that interview with J.J. Watt yesterday, I guess it was, here on the station. He was asked about Clowney. One of the first things he said in his Clowney response was, he's a great run defender. I thought, well, okay, we do, that's true.
It's an accurate statement.
That's true, but going back to 2014 when he was drafted, it just seems a little weird.
Yeah, coming up next, Cecil Shorts is in studio with us. Let's go through all the storylines leading up to draft day. Would Cecil Shorts trade up for Andre Dillard? Does he think Kyler Murray's going number one? And what does Cecil Shorts think of an answer that Dwayne Haskins had to an interview question? We'll get into that as well. You're listening to the Triple Threat. So the rumor, and that's Cecil Shorts, who's joining Rich and I in studio, as he does every Wednesday in the 4 o'clock hour. The big draft rumor with the Texans this week, Cecil, was Peter King planting the seed that they could trade up for Andre Dillard. I guess twofold question for you. From what you've seen and heard, what do you think of Andre Dillard? Is he a guy worth trading up to go get? But two, do you think Brian Gain strikes you as the type of GM who would make a move like that?
Well, one, I've from what I've seen and heard, that he's the best left tackle in the draft by far, probably the only true left tackle in the first round category. And for me, if I'm Brian Gain, I'm going to trade up and get him. Mm-hmm. No, it's no doubt in my mind. I think he's the type of guy that can protect your quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. I'm sorry, not just your quarterback, your franchise for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what I mean? So if he is that important and he's that good, if I love him that much, I'm willing to give up something to go get
him. So you throw in one of the two second round picks.
Absolutely.
That's what King had in the deal. Probably. He had him giving up the 55th
pick. I would have
pick.
No problem doing that because you're addressing a need. That's obvious, right? You're protecting, you're getting better as a franchise. And plus, you still have another second round pick. So it's not losing too much per se. So I would be super excited if that happens. I mean, what was part two
Gain,
of the question?
Gain, does Gain strike you as a GM who's willing to move up, or is he more of a move back?
This is the tricky thing because we haven't seen him with the first round pick yet.
Yeah.
Right? So we with a second round pick, we haven't seen him.
True.
So and then going off with him being aggressive, going out and getting Demaryius Thomas last year, do I think he would move up or move back? He seems like a guy that won't reach for somebody he doesn't love.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if he loves somebody, he'll go get him.
Like King suggested, it would be a deal to move up six spots to number 17, that Dillard would be available there. I'm with you. If that's an opportunity for them to address this position, you jump on that. And I think we're assuming in a situation like that, that their grade on Dillard is higher than the 17th pick, that they feel like it would be quite a bargain to get him at the 17th pick.
And if you feel that way, I mean, you got to go get him.
Totally.
Well, you got to go get him.
One of the things King said in that mock draft, that's what it was. It was King's mock draft where he was sort of expressing all of his draft thoughts, is that the Texans have Dillard as the number one rated tackle on their board, which I think is significant. It's not shocking. I think a lot of teams probably have Dillard as the number one tackle on their board. But he's the number one tackle in a draft that has some pretty good tackles in it, reportedly. Yeah. It's a deep tackle draft. Jonah Williams is thought to be a pretty good player. The Taylor kid from Florida is thought to be a pretty good player. Cody Ford. So it's not just that he's the number one tackle. He's the number one tackle in a draft class that has two other guys that are viewed as top 10 or 12 picks.
Yeah, so I guess if you – but it depends – how you grade them.
Yeah.
So if the Texans don't grade the other guys high, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks.
True.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But if, so if Dillard's their guy, if I'm them, I'm going up to get Dillard.
Yeah.
Just period. Now, I love Juwan Taylor. I think for me, he won me over at the combine. Because as a lineman, you have to be able to fight through injuries. There's no time and place. You have to be a tough guy to be a lineman. And there's no time and place where you won't be banged up in the NFL. And a lot of guys at the combine, if anything hurts, they're going to sit out. They're not going to do this drill, do that drill. Now, he didn't run a 40, but I don't care about a lineman running a 40. You're never going to run a 40 unless you're celebrating the touchdown.
Right.
I don't care how much you run the 40. I can care less. He did every single offensive lineman drill and looked good. Every single drill with a pulled hamstring. That's difficult to do, especially for a 300-pound-plus guy.
That says a lot.
And that says a lot to me. So I'm a big fan of his. I'm not sure he'll drop that low. But if he's around within the teens as far as 15, 16, 17, I don't think he's going to drop past, going back to Dillard, I don't think he's going to drop past Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think Carolina needs a tackle.
They're at 16, I think,
so
right?
I think you need to trade up above Carolina to be able to get him.
Hypothetical for you. If Kiki QT, Will Fuller, and I'll throw in Deontay Foreman are all 100%, they're healthy, they're playing every game, how much does that mitigate the weakness of the offensive line in front of Deshaun Watson at all?
It helps a ton. Number one, you got top five offense right off the bat. All those guys healthy and your offense is going to be top five. Number two, as a quarterback, when you have those weapons and they understand, because all those guys, none of those guys you mentioned are rookies no more. None of those guys, they all have they understand the offense, where they need to be. This would be at least their second year in the offense. For some of them, for Will Fuller, fourth year in the offense, and to have that, to have that knowledge is comfort. Now I can go out there and play. So now, this Deshaun's third year, I know where Foreman's going to be at if trouble breaks down. I can get the ball out extremely quick like a Tom Brady does. Tom Brady played in the offense for dang near 20 years. Of course, he knows where the ball was going to go, where his guys are going to be. Now these guys can do the same thing. Now Deshaun can get the ball out super quick. He don't got to hold the ball. He don't got to make plays. He doesn't have to be Superman all the time. He can trust his guys.
What is this offensive line's biggest issue in your mind? Is it a talent issue? Is it grasping of the scheme? There's obviously health issues here and there and things like that. But you watched all the games last year. What did you see in this offensive line, Cecil, that they can address?
I think it's a mix of things. I think, honestly, you have a no superstar in the offensive line. You have some decent talent, and you hope they'll get better this year, right? But I also think good offensive lines are together for a good amount of time.
Yeah, continuity.
They have time to gel, understanding what calls. If this front happens, hey, this guy's in the A-gap, and we got to run to the right. I understand what I need to do. You know what I mean? I can trust my guy that he's going to take care of me. So I think this that continuity piece, if they can figure out a top five or six consistently, and which they had last year for the most part. They had some injuries here and there, but for the most part. And then a lot of guys were young. But I think it's a mix of those things, and nobody's a superstar on that line. Nobody is a dog on that line.
They need a piece.
They need a piece. Yeah. And for me, Dillard, Taylor, haven't seen too much of Ford, but from what I hear, he's good. I wouldn't mind a Greg Little, but I think he'll be there in the second round.
Nobody on that line is sniffing a Pro Bowl.
No, not at all. And you need at least one. You need Dwayne Brown. You need a Wade Smith. You need somebody like that. You understand? So
Chris Myers made a Pro Bowl.
Chris Myers was a dog. He was out there. He would fight you. He was serious.
The guys you're all naming, and Cecil, when you say that about the offensive line, I immediately think about the offensive line that had those guys in it in 2011 and 2012.
Breisel and Winston also.
Yeah, and all those are all, other than Breisel, who left to go to the Raiders, those are all guys that the Texans gave second contracts to.
Yeah.
Dwayne Brown gave him a second. That to me is a sign of a foundational guy. You draft him. You sign him, and then you sign him again. For Chris Myers, they traded for him, but they gave him a second contract. Eric Winston, they draft him, they give him a second contract. Wade Smith was a great free agent signing for this team. Didn't miss a game for 4 years. That's what this team – there's not a single guy I can look at on this offensive line right now and say to myself, okay, what's their contract going to look like when it's up? Because I don't know that I can envision them being here when it's up.
And see, and that's – if you saying that, there's no way you cannot draft the offensive lineman in the first round, in my opinion. There's no way. If you're saying that, I can't see who's going to get a second contract. I can't see who we're going to sign back next year. Yeah. That's an issue. That's a big-time issue. I have my franchise quarterback. My receivers, if healthy, can be one of the best in the league. My running back went to the Pro Bowl last year. Deontay Foreman shows a lot of upside. You drafted two tight ends last year, a lot of upside. So what is your issue? The offensive line.
Yeah.
Figure that out now.
Yep. Yeah, big time. If they don't go O-line, they don't go cornerback at 23, and they can't trade down, what position would you like to see them go best available at?
Oh, man. If you can't go offensive line, you can't go corner. Maybe interior defensive line, so maybe like a D-tackle, somebody that can rush the passer. Because I think Reader's good, but you can bring in somebody like that can really rush the passer from up the middle, get some pressure there. I think that would be outstanding.
John Harris brings up the name Jerry Tillery from Notre Dame a lot, who did quite a bit of that.
I'm not too familiar.
Yeah, he got a lot of push up the middle for Notre Dame last year. Yeah.
I'm with you. Reader's a good player, but you need more pressure.
You need more pressure up that middle.
And the pressure up the middle, I forget who, they might have been Seth talking about it this week. Pressure, not all pressures are equal. Pressure coming off the edge is stuff that quarterbacks generally can see and prepare for. It's the pressure up the middle that folds the pocket up that's really disruptive. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. And when pressure comes up the middle, now as a quarterback, you step forward and throw, right? So now you're uncomfortable with throwing. Now you got to move in the pocket. When you move to the right, guess what? J.J. Watt's coming. You move, now the edge pressure is coming in. Yeah. You move to the left, you got Clowney coming. You see what I'm saying? So it all ties in. So when you get that pressure up the middle, that puts a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks. It's very uncomfortable. To beat Tom Brady, you have to get pressure up the middle. That's one of the main things they say. If you get on his toes, get to the quarterback's feet, get to his toes, make him uncomfortable, he's not going to step into his throws.
Yep. It's a hard commodity to find, and I think it's why Ed Oliver is valued as highly as he is.
I listened to you guys earlier. As high as three now?
The Jets reportedly are looking at him at three. Yeah, he was top five coming into the season, and then all this stuff happens during the season where his stock goes
I don't want a guy that's yelling at his head coach.
Yeah, then you do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around, and voila. All right, one more segment to go with Cecil Shorts. Nice long segment. Dwayne Haskins was asked a question about which teams are most interested in him. He answered very, very honestly. Is this an answer that's going to make NFL teams a little angry with Dwayne Haskins? And also, we got to run these cornerback trades, Patrick Peterson, Chris Harris by Cecil as well. And also, what was the best gift that he ever got from one of his teammates? We'll talk about that in the final segment with Cecil Shorts as well. You're listening to the Triple Threat. One more nice long segment to go with Cecil Shorts, former Houston Texan wide receiver who's fired up because the draft is only 24 hours away. We're going to be out at NRG Stadium tomorrow, and we've got you covered from 6 a.m., beginning with Mad Radio, 12 hours of pre-draft coverage. We hand it over to Texans Radio, and we're going to be out there tomorrow night during the draft. You can watch our Facebook Live page. We'll tell you how to react as the news flows in before and after the Texans pick at 23. And you're going to be out there tomorrow too, right, Cecil?
Yes, I'll be out there, Texans ambassador, signing autographs, taking pictures, so come find me.
Kissing babies.
Kissing babies, give me some parenting advice.
Oh, dude, you should set up an advice stand like Lucy in the Peanuts comics.
Oh, like, hey,
the doctor is in.
Yeah. Get your baby to sleep at night. Come holler at me.
Damn straight advice.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Well, that'll be cool. Should be a fun night. Thank God for having a first and second round pick.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
This year. 2 seconds this year. So Dwayne Haskins is expected to go, I think, fairly high in the draft. We just had John Harris on, Cecil.
Top half of the first round.
Yeah, and Johnny thinks he's going to go in the top 10. It sounds like Washington is looking to maybe move up, and that would be a move to go get a quarterback. If you're moving up into the top 10, you're going to get a quarterback.
Absolutely.
He's certainly, after Kyler Murray on the short list, him, Drew Locke, Daniel Jones. So Haskins is going to be picked somewhere in that upper half of the first round, maybe even the top 10. We can actually now kind of ascertain exactly which teams may want Dwayne Haskins.
Maybe.
Thanks to Dwayne Haskins. In a Monday interview with hashtag PFTPM, I guess that's Pro Football Talk in the afternoon.
It is.
Is what that is. Haskins outlined the teams that have shown interest in him. He answered the question honestly. He said a lot of teams, the Raiders, the Redskins, the Broncos, Dolphins, and the Giants, those are the teams who've shown the most interest in me.
Sean, I say maybe. Because how many times have we seen in the history of the NFL draft a player interviewed after he was drafted and he's asked, well, how much contact did you have with this team? None. I had no idea they were interested in me.
A lot.
So he may not know anything.
A lot. But this, I think we can safely say, these are teams that are interested in him.
Yeah.
He may get drafted by a team that's not on this list.
Right. Yeah.
But these are teams that have shown interest in him. And I guess two questions, Cecil. One, what do you think these teams think of that answer? And two, What do you think the incumbent quarterbacks of those teams think of that answer?
Well, to answer the second question first, the quarterbacks, they know. If you look at Derek Carr, he's not loved by Gruden and those guys. Case Keenum, that's kind of his MO.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco, you know, he's traded for a reason. The Dolphins, they need a quarterback. And then the Giants, obviously, they believe in Eli for next year or so.
But they need a quarterback.
But they need a quarterback right. for the future. So right. if I had to guess what team would draft or be interested, I would guess these teams because yeah. they need quarterbacks.
Sure.
Right?
For sure.
Now, if I am those teams, am I mad he came out and said it on PFT? Maybe.
Yeah. yeah.
But how much of a secret is it? You see what I'm saying? Like the Giants, that we know they're into a quarterback. All these teams we know are into a quarterback. Just because Haskins comes out and says it, hey, these six teams or five teams are looking at me, doesn't mean they know, you know, what's going to happen as far as I'm going to trade up here, I'm going to trade up there, or I'm going to go this high to get, I'm going to go to number three and get him. Or,
right.
You don't know behind the scenes what's really going on. And then yeah. who's really interested.
What I find most interesting about the five teams he named is that the Raiders are the only team among those five paying a relatively young
yes.
quarterback
yes.
as a franchise quarterback.
That's yes. the one. That, yes. That's the when I asked yes. that question, Cecil, you're 100% right. All five of them could use a quarterback. Four of the five know that, even Flacco and Eli know in their heart of hearts, that they're not the long-term answer with either of their teams.
That's why I said relatively young.
Yeah, the Raiders are the easy one to go, man, I bet Derek Carr, who likes to challenge TV hosts to cage matches and seems to take it personally when you talk about other quarterbacks coming in and taking his job, I would imagine that's one that may, even though Derek Carr probably knows which way the wind's blowing, that one may ruffle a little feathers, don't you think?
He's upset. He doesn't like it. And I think it put a little fire in him coming to this year as far as him being the leader that he is, but him going out there and playing hard in a mini camp right now.
Especially since they signed up Trent Brown to be his left tackle and brought in Antonio Brown. Derek Carr's got to be
Williams,
salivating.
I mean,
Tyler Williams, yeah.
You got to be excited. And then to hear that little talk that they possibly may draft yeah. a guy. Because personally, I think if Kyler doesn't go number one, the next team that he'll go to is probably the Raiders, in my opinion. I think he doesn't fit anywhere else. Because you got to run a certain type of system. You got to run a certain type of – you got to cater to Kyler's needs, what yeah. he's good at.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if, you know, the Redskins, the Broncos, the Dolphins, or whoever else he named would be interested in doing that.
Well, he'd be playing, obviously, on a rookie contract.
Yes.
Is it even feasible to think he could be like Mahomes and learn for a year behind Derek Carr?
He could, but I don't see them spending – He had to fall. I think he'll have to fall. But the Raiders will go up and get him. Now, the Raiders have all the assets to go get him number one if they wanted to.
Yeah.
they can go right. True. They can trade Derek Carr and the three number ones and say, we want the number one pick.
Yeah. Yeah, they could. Yeah, I think if Arizona is just smoke screening on Kyler Murray,
right.
I think they'd take that deal in a heartbeat. All of a sudden, they'd have three first-round picks. Do you think they're smoke screening at all, by the way, the Cardinals with Kyler Murray? Or you think they're taking Kyler Murray?
I'm 90, and I have no intail or insight. I'm just 99%. Percent sure he's going number one.
Yeah.
Go play for Cliff Kingsbury.
Go play for
in
Cliff.
That offense.
Cliff is a guy that wants him, obviously. And then for him, you know, he's tied to that quarterback from now on. You don't want to be tied to Josh Rosen, somebody you didn't bring in. You know what I mean? So if I'm going to be tied to somebody, let me be tied to somebody I want and somebody I want to mold and I can trust. So,
I'd be curious to know what, in truth, the GM, Steve Keim, thinks about that because he's the one who traded up, gave up some valuable draft capital to get Rosen at number 10 last year and made the commitment to Rosen. And now all of a sudden you've got a new coach and that plan a year later is completely out the window?
That's crazy. Do you think Rosen and Murray can be on the same team this year?
No.
Not at all?
I mean, I think they could, but I think it would be a disaster.
Two guys on rookie deals, they could certainly afford to do it.
Yeah, no, of course, but I think, right? But only one of them can get on the field. That's the problem. And right. I don't think so. If they draft Murray and Rosen's still on the team, then I think you got to go into eBay mode at that point.
That's crazy.
And see what you can get for Josh Rosen.
Which means they're going to get much less than what they expended to get him, which makes it a really bad one-year experience for the Cardinals.
The market for him must not be that high, otherwise he would have been gone already.
Maybe. Maybe something happens tomorrow night. You know, that is one of the things we'll be watching heading into the draft tomorrow night. But the flip side to what you're saying, Rich, about, it's a disaster, they traded up to get him at 10, The flip side is you've got the number one pick in the draft. If you feel like Murray is significantly better than Rosen, then you owe it to yourself and your fans to upgrade the most important position.
I agree with that, but you can't say to those fans that over the last 2 years we've maximized our draft capital because you've squandered quite a bit of your draft capital.
No, I'm sure they wouldn't bring up Josh Rosen's name unprompted. I guarantee you that.
Right.
Yeah. So speaking of the Cardinals, Patrick Peterson, who I don't know and I don't think is going to get moved, and Chris Harris, two cornerbacks, who Chris Harris may get moved. He's requested a trade, and it's a pretty good time to request a trade the day before the draft. First of all, from a wide receiver's perspective, Cecil, before we get into whether the Texans should be making phone calls to John Elway and Steve Keim for either of these guys, Chris Harris, I've got to believe you've gone against both of these guys at some point. Okay. Give us a scouting report as a guy who's gone against them.
Patrick Peterson is one of the best corners in the league. Shut down corner. He can completely shut one side of the field down. He can take your receiver completely out of the game. And he can run with anybody. He's 6'2", almost long,
he's
physical when he
wants
to be. And he's the type of guy that's willing to be a punt returner as well. So you got to see him three downs and on fourth down. So he's the type of guy, if he is up for trade, then you need to see what they're talking about. You need to pick up that phone and see what's going on. Now, Chris Harris, to me, he equals Kareem Jackson. Him and Kareem Jackson favor a lot.
His best days may be behind him.
I think his best days are behind him, and he's a slot guy. Yeah. That's the guy that he's best in the slot the last 2 years.
And he reportedly wants $15 million
a year. If that's the case, you should have signed back Kareem if you're going after Chris Harris, in my opinion.
Right.
So I don't want Chris Harris. I think he's good for what he does, but he's basically Kareem Jackson. So if you trade for Chris Harris, you might as well just go back and sign Kareem,
well,
if that makes sense.
And the fact of the matter is, with the Texans at slot corner, they got to kind of ride or die with Aaron Colvin for at least another year. Because of his contract.
But Pat Peterson's that dude. Like, he's seriously that, even at this age. I don't know if he's 30 yet.
He's right around there.
But every year he's been to the Pro Bowl. He is seriously.
He's a Hall of Famer in his
prime. He's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Like, he's seriously that dude.
This will be his 29-year-old season coming up here. He's 29 and 30 over the next 2 years at only $12 million a year, unguaranteed money right now. The contract is very, very favorable. What would you give up for Patrick Peterson if you were Brian Gain? You got the Cardinals on the phone right now. You've got a first, 2 seconds, a third. You've got draft picks next year. What would you give up for Brian Peterson?
I'll give up.
Did you give up the 23rd overall pick?
No, I'm not giving the first round.
Really?
Okay.
I'm not. Offensive line is too big of a need. My franchise is number four. I have to protect him at all costs. If I get Patrick Peterson,
next year's one.
His year? No. Next year's one. No, I'm gonna go for
next year's.
I'll give him both twos.
I was gonna say next year's one and one of the twos this year. I would do
that. Well, see, I wouldn't mind doing that because I expect to be a playoff team. So my next year's one would be somewhere between 23 and 32 next year.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't mind giving that. So I might give him next year's one and one of the twos this year.
Yeah.
Could you do that? Next year's one and one of the twos.
What about throwing a player in there?
No. I don't know who you'd throw in that the Cardinals would really want, to be honest with you. You could throw Whitney Merciless into the deal. You know, but the Cardinals are a rebuilding team, and he's got 1 year left on his deal. To answer your question, Rich, would I do one of the twos this year and a one next year for Patrick Peterson? Probably not. Probably not. It's just too much. It's
a lot.
It's a lot. It's too much.
For an older guy.
Yeah.
And then his contract's coming up in, what, 2 years, you said?
Yeah.
2 years, like you said, at a very reasonable salary.
No, I get it, but I don't want to be chipping away at both of my drafts these next 2 years that high up in the draft. I would do, if they said, hey, give us something in the 2020 draft, and it's like a third or fourth rounder, I would do that.
I'll do that.
But a two this year and a one next year.
See, I like the fact that it's split up between two different draft classes.
Yeah, see, I don't know that I'd give up two premium picks for him. That's the thing, period, let alone spread over two.
Would you do two and a three this year? A 2019 second and 2019
third.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'd do a two and a three this
year. Absolutely.
I would do a two and a three this year. Yeah, absolutely. Because you still have a first and a second then.
Yep.
You're getting Patrick Peterson with two more years left on his deal in his prime.
Yep.
And you still walk away with two of the top 54 players in the draft.
Yeah.
Would I do a two and a three, you know, and maybe try to get cute and say, hey, give us a sixth back or something like that.
Yeah.
So at least you're getting another at bat in the draft, maybe. But two and a three this year, I'd do in a second.
Absolutely.
I'd do it for the 23rd pick. I know you said you wouldn't, Cecil. Mm. Rich, you said you would. I would do it for the 23rd pick.
Why?
Because I feel corner's just as big a need as offensive line.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. And in your argument about protecting Deshaun is a great argument. But I do. There's part of me that I feel I feel some trust, even though it's been 1 year, in Brian Gain to be able to find somebody with either the 54th or 55th pick to be able to serve that need. And I said this earlier to Rich, Cecil, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. I don't know that the improvement in the offensive line is going to come from the draft. The improvement in 2019. I don't know that the improvement in 2019 is going to come from this year's draft. I think they can get a good player.
Yeah.
But offensive line is a tough position to assimilate, even for a guy who's the 23rd overall pick. I think they're just going to need to get better and stay healthier if there's going to be any incremental improvement.
I agree with that. And I think that's what you want. Ideally, you want your guys that you have now to obviously get better from this, from last year to this season.
Yeah, for sure.
So they can do that. They can get better, stay healthy, and improve, and then you add guys on top of that to make a competition. That's ideal of what you're looking for.
But your argument about the 23rd overall pick is about more than just 2019, which I think is a totally valid argument. It's
next
just
10, 15 years.
Yeah, it's just that I would make that trade. Because I feel there's a flip side to it that protecting Deshaun now and forever is really important. But also maximizing Deshaun's rookie deal that he's on right now is super important.
Yeah.
And you know you're getting a player in Patrick Peterson.
You are.
There's no questions about Patrick Peterson. You're getting a player.
Did you say you'll get Chris Harris? Would you go after Chris Harris?
No, I wouldn't.
Rich, would you go after
Chris
Harris?
No. He's asking for too much money. Yeah. And like I said, he's been all pro, but it's been a few years.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. All right. So has your quarterback with any of the teams you played for ever bought you a gift?
Me personally?
Yes.
No.
Why don't quarterbacks buy their wide receivers gifts? It seems like they're always buying gifts for their linemen.
They always buy gifts for the linemen. Running backs buy gifts for the linemen. It's never nothing for the receiver. I guess our gift is them throwing the ball to us on Sunday.
And letting you get that money. So have you been on a team where the quarterback has bought gifts for the linemen?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Plenty
of
times.
Were they good gifts?
I've seen. So quarterbacks take – was it good gifts? I don't know if it was – yeah, they were good gifts. I've seen, like, Maurice Jones-Drew, he's not a quarterback, but I've seen him buy all his offensive linemen, I think 2011. He was the rushing champion.
Yeah.
So he bought all offensive linemen, like, Gucci watches.
Oh, that's cool.
Let's see. Honestly, the reason I think quarterbacks give linemen so many gifts, they're around each other so much. And they're like best friends almost.
Quarterback and linemen.
Quarterback and linemen are kind of, they get along. We need you. We need, you know, you need us. The best gift, let's see. Blaine Gabbert took everybody to the whole offense to a steakhouse dinner.
That's cool.
Gave all the offensive linemen a bottle of Louis XIII.
They like that Louis XIII.
No, that's
very popular.
Yeah. That price per bottle is something serious.
Yeah. The funny stories are when you hear about a rookie having to pay for the steakhouse
dinner.
Those
aren't funny. Those are terrible.
And then they get jammed with a Louis XIII bottle by veterans.
Those are terrible.
Did you have to do one of those?
I had a rookie dinner. They were nice to me. I think I spent about $6,000.
It's your position group, right?
My position group, okay.
That's six grand.
It's not bad.
You can write it off, you know.
I did. It happened. Absolutely.
Yeah, Brendan Williams told
I've seen
that.
Some undrafted linemen get put in a situation where they got to pay $20,000.
Yeah.
So it's like three of them and they got to figure it out.
Because those hosses can eat.
Man. It wasn't no games played. That was pretty funny.
Oh, that's funny. Well,
they're calling me for help. Cecil, hey, come pick me up. I'm like, no.
Who, the offensive lineman was calling you?
Yeah.
The
Cam Bradfield. We came in together. He's like, hey, help me out, man. I got to pay this bill, and they say if I don't pay, they're going to take my car. And I got to work out again. Oh, I'm like.
It's like hazing.
Because he was like, I'm not paying this junk. I'm not paying this. No, ain't no way I'm paying. I can't fund them. Because he's undrafted, right? Don't get it twisted. We got money. They got money undrafted. They're making the league minimum, which is like around $400,000 that year.
Yeah.
But he didn't want it. Who wants to come out of pocket, you know,
$20,000
a piece? Yeah. Like, it's crazy. So he called me trying to figure out what to do. I'm like, man, listen, I'm asleep. No, but I wound up going to pick him because they took his car because he threatened not to.
So they really did take his car?
They took his car, like, and then he ended up paying, and they brought the car back or whatever.
So there's a happy ending, sort of.
Okay, I'm so mad at myself that we got to this story at like 4:51. Making
it's
a note,
crazy, man.
Making a note. Cecil story time next week in the final segment.
Man, no kidding.
Cecil, great stuff as always. You have a football camp.
Yes. June 15th at Butler Stadium in Houston. So every year I go back home in Cleveland in my college, Mountain Union. I throw a kids camp there. Last year we actually did a kids camp and a 707 camp for high school. So this year we decided to do it in Houston. It's going to be a kids camp, Cecil Shorts the Third football camp at Butler Stadium. It's a free camp for kids ages 7 to 13. We're going to have Toro out there. Former Texans, current Texans going to be out there. Awesome. It's going to be fun to see, man. Free T-shirts, you get a swag bag. It's a lot of fun. You get to learn the game. It'll be a lot of fun, free food and stuff. So June 15th at Butler Stadium, ages 7 through 13, and you can sign up at cs3football.com.
cs3football.com, and we'll tweet it out as well.
Sounds
I'm sure you'll be tweeting it
Sounds
out.
Sounds good.
All right, good stuff. Cecil Shorts, we'll see you next. Actually, we'll see you tomorrow at NRG Stadium.
Yes, I'll see you guys
tomorrow.
Looking
forward to it.
Sounds good.
Y'all take
Cecil
care.
Shorts, great stuff as always.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.